Hey, welcome into the Orange 13 podcast. Back in studio, live and in action. We are going. Josh is in here with me today in the studio.
Yo, what's up?
There he is. Yeah, that's right. This is episode number 4 of the Orange 13 podcast, coming to you live and in style. Today, we're going to be talking about performance and pressure. There's a few sporting events that happen, like, for example, a last second free throw in a basketball game, lots of pressure. A penalty kick in soccer, pressure. Game winning field goal in football, two outs, bottom of the ninth, and they need a run. A final putt on the 18th green, there's pressure there. Our world is full of pressure. There's the American way of life is one that's kind of driven by a couple words: do better. The system we live in is driven by this just this drive to do better, to be better. Maybe you feel pressure as a student to get that homework done, or maybe you've got a couple tests that you're studying for, or maybe there's a project that's coming due and you just feel this pressure to get it done. Maybe you're at work and your boss is just riding you. Just, you got it, you're swamped, and you just feel all this pressure to perform at your job. Maybe you're a parent and you're trying to balance your work and home life and dinner and driving the kids, and somebody's sick, and all the things that could happen just as a parent that are just kind of running you down, and you just feel this pressure to perform. And I think there's this pressure to perform because there's somebody who is measuring you, or maybe there's somebody with expectations of you, or maybe there's somebody who has, you know, they're just depending on you. Josh, in what areas of your life do you feel this pressure or this performance that you have to perform? What's going on in your soul? Where do you see this in your life or in the world?
Yeah, so I guess maybe for me, it's just the pressure of, like, the American culture. Like, you kind of said a little bit of where you have to climb up the ladder and the rank. And so, like, I remember one time leaving my – I used to work at a specific college, and it was very performance-based because it was very sales-based too, because you had to get so many students to sign up for classes or things like that. And so, I mean, I was perfectly fine, like, content, you know, where I was at that moment and where that season, like, where God had me at one point. And they're like, well, don't you want to do better in your life? Like, don't you want to be better in your life? Like, don't you want to? And I'm just like, I mean, I love what I'm just doing right now. You know, I love serving you guys. I love just hanging out. I love what I'm doing. But there's always like this pressure of like, you have to be more, you have to do better, you have to. I think it's ingrained in our American culture of just do better.
Yeah, man. How do you see that? I know you work with teenagers pretty regularly. How do you see that affecting them in the day in and day out of life?
Oh, yeah. It's the worst. Like, they're stressed and they're anxious and they feel like I can never amount to enough. And their satisfaction is not knowing who they are in Jesus, but rather of like, oh, do I have the best grades? You know, am I the best at my sport? Which are not necessarily bad things, but it's like when you put on an extra layer of anxiety onto it, then becomes a little bit unhealthy. And so I just see it, they'll come to groups, you know, Wednesday, and they're just like, man, like, I have this like test I have to do, and I have to like, I got an A, or they'll say I got a B. And I'm like, dude, that's awesome. And they're like, no, that sucks. And I'm like, what? I was like, I would have killed to have B's. Or like, you at least get a 90-something on, you know, anything. And they're like, no, I got to be better because I want to get a good school. And I want to – it's just this unnecessary pressure that they put on themselves. Some outside, you know, but most of the time it's them putting that pressure on themselves.
Absolutely. And so how is it? Obviously, there's nothing wrong with doing better. There's nothing wrong with trying as hard as you can and performing. There's nothing wrong with doing better. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think where it becomes unhealthy is when that performance level gets kind of mixed up with your identity.
Yeah.
And so start to see yourself as good or bad or successful or unsuccessful based on some metrics that you either you scored enough points, or let's say in a basketball game or on a test, like you just said, you know, you got a B. Hey, that's really good.
Yeah.
But for some reason that wasn't good enough, and therefore you think you're not good enough.
Yeah.
Do you see that in some of the millennials that you interact with? How do you see that kind of playing out in their lives?
I think millennials, and especially like, I mean, this is actually anyone who's just even on social media, is like, you know, you have that, the FOMO, the aspect of fear missing out. And so if you see someone who, I mean, it's just like for, like, let's just take my wife and I, for example. We live in an apartment, we work at a church. I mean, we're not doing terrible, but we're not doing the greatest according to society standards. We should be, you know, way further ahead, I guess. But, I mean, we're perfectly content, you know, where we are. But you have some friends or some people who are like, I got to have the best looking house. I have to make it look like something, that it's, that you have a beautiful house. It's just discontentment. And I think more than anything, we're just not content in where we are. And there's a lack of that in every aspect of our lives. So.
Yeah. You mentioned social media apps. I think that's a huge factor in this driven thing where all you see on social media is the really, really cute pictures because it took them 47 tries, all the successful things, all the great things. Then there's this competing to get likes.
Yeah.
You want to talk a bit about why is there so much obsession with how many people viewed my photo and liked it?
Yeah, it gives you a sense of, it's weird because I just listened to something about this and I learned about it a little bit in one of my sociology class or psychology classes, but there's a chemical that goes off in your brain with a sense of like achievement. So it's like, you know, if we were kids, when I was a kid, I played Mario, you know, 64. And so when I got to the next level, there was a boost of like adrenaline or like something that just went off in me. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's awesome. Like I got a sense of accomplishment. Like I'm rolling. I'm going to the next tower. I'm going to fight Bowser. And so like for this, it's Bowser. like for this, it's like you get a like, you know, that automatic goes off. It goes onto your phone notifications and you can continuously like your phone will continuously flash. And so if you post something and it necessarily doesn't get the right amount of likes, you yourself feel like, well, then maybe someone doesn't like me. And so it's like people get paid to be on Instagram or Snapchat or whatever to just put on their lives like, hey, this is what I'm doing. I know some particular people who just remain off social media because for their very soul, it's like they automatically compare themselves to other people based on something that's happened on social media, which – That's fine, but that's so sad for our society that something that was probably could be used for such good can be used for such hurt. And I know with a lot of teenagers, like, they're always on Snapchat. They're always trying to keep their streaks up. Like, it's just me. I'm kind of like, well, I don't care. Like, I'm just living my life, like, just trying to make it the next day. But I just know the fad right now, for at least where my wife is going, it's like Instamoms. So it's like this fad of like you live like, I don't know what their husbands do for they can stay at home and do Instagram, but like they have this life where they're on there, they have all the brands, they make the food, they put their kids in cute clothes. So it's this thing of like, I want to be like that. You know, there's always that drive inside some women who want to be moms. But it's so sad. But what about the people who can't have kids, or like the moms who you know can't afford that? They want to be like that, but they can't.
Yeah. Somewhere, somebody somehow, some way, mystically has created these standards.
Yeah.
And somehow we're all kind of hardwired, or environmental has bred them into us. Of this is successful. This is not. This is what the picture of good looks like, and then if you're not there, there's this pressure, perform, do better. You know, you work at this place, ugh, you want to work there forever? Hey, if you're going to work every day and you're working as hard as you can,
yeah,
hey, go for it.
Yeah.
Who are you to say that this job is better than that job?
Exactly.
I don't like that. I never stood that. I don't get that at all. But I wanted to bring this full circle because I think the beauty and why this podcast exists, why I think we do what we do, is there's this awesome encouragement to know that spiritually we serve a God who doesn't judge us on our performance,
mm-hmm.
but on the finished work, a.k.a. the performance of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And so there's so much freedom in that to know, like, he's not looking at me to do better.
Mm-hmm.
He's looking at me as his son whom he loves.
Yeah.
And I don't have to perform. I don't have to earn it. Jesus already did. It's just that to me, if you can wrap your identity around that, man, life, it's not going to be easy, but you're just going to have some confidence that not everybody else has. It's available to everybody, but not everybody's going to have that. Yeah. You want to talk about that in your life?
Yeah, I mean, there's the aspect of, again, we're not trying to harp on the church or anything, but, you know, you leave a sermon, and you talk about this all the time, but you leave a sermon about, you know, do better. Like, you have to do this better. I had a conversation with the nearest student yesterday, and he came up to me. He's like, he feels like he's a failure. And I'm like, well, why, man? Like, what? I don't read my Bible enough. I'm like, what? Like, and he's like, yeah, I don't spend enough alone time with God. And I was like, what do you mean? You know, the only alone time that I get with God is usually on Friday mornings. Like, that's my alone time where I have no distraction. One time out of the whole week am I fully able just to, like, clear the house and I'm just like, God is not looking for that from you. You know, you put your trust in Jesus, and I'm just kind of like, there's also that do better mentality that's sneakily snuck into the church.
Mm.
And that's not what Jesus says. Jesus didn't tell us to do better. He told us to trust in him.
Oh, preach it.
You know, and so it's just like, if my identity is wrapped up in who Jesus says I am, then I know that I can work hard, and I don't, it's not about me doing better, but it's rather me trusting in him and what he's already finished to tell us that it is finished, it is done. I don't need to do anything else but trust in him.
Yeah. Hey, wherever you're at and whatever you're doing right now, just be encouraged and know that there is a God out there who loves you and wants to know you and has made a way for us to be in relationship with him, and it's through Christ. And once we know Jesus, there's just something special that happens in your soul. And so this whole podcast is kind of dedicated to helping people embrace and pursue life and life to the full. And part of that is understanding that there's freedom in this Heavenly Father through Jesus. It's not a list of rules. It's not a get yourself cleaned up before you come. It's just come to him and place your trust in him, and he will make you new. Thanks for listening to Orange 13 Podcast. Until next time.